Thanks for listening to this podcast of Trending with Timory. If you haven't already subscribed, please catch us wherever you love to listen to your podcast, from the Relevant Radio app to Apple, YouTube, you name it, we are there. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to go and give us a 5-star review to help other people discover the podcast. Anything you share in terms of episodes, whether it's texting it to a friend, posting on social media, helps to build up the kingdom for God, to help confront the challenging issues we face as a culture, but with joy, with hope, and with an eternal perspective where our faith collides with everyday life, bringing eternal principles to help us live our life joyfully. Have you ever heard of theology of the body? If you haven't, it's okay, especially when Catholics sometimes throw out their TOB. I'm like, a lot of people don't know what we're talking about. It's like inside shop talk in the Catholic world. Theology of the body, you may have heard of it for teenagers, for young adults, for people who are single. But have you ever thought about it for your marriage? Do you really understand what theology of the body is? There's this thick book. I'm dropping it here next to me. It's a big one. And it is the compilation of St. John Paul II's Wednesday audiences. For a number of years, he would, on Wednesday, give a Wednesday audience, and the compilation of all of these are known as Theology of the Body. They're a form of catechesis that he delivered for quite a while, talking about the anthropology and theology of the human person. And he dives into and unpacks everything from the intimacy of married persons to the creation of Adam and Eve as male and female, to the suffering of Christ and its meaning for us, and the significance in our bodies as male and female, the temptations that we experience. It's an incredible catechesis. People like to refer to it and reduce it to almost a sexual theology, but that's not, it really is our human anthropology and theology. It's a summation of all of the great tradition of philosophy and theology together in all of these areas, looking at who the human person is. And so this book is phenomenal. If you've never actually read, if you've only ever read, you know, this person or that person on their commentary on theology of the body, you're missing out. I really want to encourage you to read, and they're short Wednesday audiences. You can read them online. You can read the full book. They're short. You can maybe read one in 5 minutes or a bunch of them all together. And he continues to build, so you can start at the beginning and build and build. It's something neat that you could do in your marriage. So St. John Paul II has this theology of the body. Many people reduce it to an abstinence or really chastity teaching. And I actually want to touch on that briefly, because I think at the heart of theology of the body, in very many ways, is the idea of chastity. And we have to remember, what's the difference, and this is important for our marriages to ponder this. What is the difference between abstinence and chastity? Have you ever thought about that? Abstinence is simply this idea of saying no. You just don't do it. But chastity is actually a yes. It's a virtue. It's a yes to the fullness of your vocation. It's a yes to being faithful to your vocation and your state in life. So if you're married, you're exclusively engaging in and sharing in intimate relationships only with your spouse. No extramarital affairs, things such as signing up for Ashley Madison. Remember the Ashley Madison hacks we had some years ago? When all of the lists of emails of people who had been on this extramarital affair website came out? Oof, a lot of big names. A lot of names, families finding out. So no extramarital affairs, no pornography, not watching movies or shows that have people in intimate acts together. It's a violation of chastity. And chastity can be lived out as a priest who has taken vows of celibacy. Chastity is this integrated sense of recognizing our sexuality, recognizing the purpose of our state in life, and being faithful to that state in life. Same thing if you're single. Remember, for years, people go on and on, you know, about how challenging, you know, chastity is and so forth. And, you know, it doesn't matter how much you love someone. If you're not married, you can't do it. Why? Because you're not being faithful to your vocation. You're a contradiction within yourself. to who you are in your state in life. But coming back to this idea of marriage, St. John Paul II's Theology of the Body touches on this whole idea of chastity, but it touches more so in a bigger picture on theology and anthropology. And at the heart of it, even as it's talking in a lot of areas about male and female and in intimacy, it's talking about our identity as human beings, that we have a purpose. We're called to live a purpose-filled life. And St. John Paul II proposes some ideas talking about the original state of Adam and Eve in the garden. And so for just a moment, we need to turn back the pages and ponder Genesis chapters 1 and 2 to understand these original states in the garden. This idea of original solitude, original justice, original unity, and original nakedness. All of this is very important. Original solitude is understanding that when Adam was alone in the garden, as I mentioned a little earlier on during the show when we were talking about birth control, he recognized that he was alone. And God said it was not good that he should be alone. That solitude, although rich in this development, in this relationship with God, as he's looking at all the rest of creation, he's seen this complementarity. He's seen this ability to reproduce. And he's seen also a difference between himself and the animals. And that solitude reveals to him that he's created for love, but he doesn't fully understand this until Eve is created. He has this moment, finally, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He sees, I am made for you, you are made for me. And remember, the original state in the garden is they were naked. And it was physically, the complementarity was like a key in a lock. The understanding of how the body worked was clear. Nothing had to be misunderstood. There's no political ideology or agenda. Part of the reason why this solitude helped Adam to understand his purpose in life in the creation of Eve, part of this was all allowed to take place is because there was original state of justice in the garden. That is, this was prior to the fall of Adam and Eve. The relationship between Adam and Eve was so pure, so clear, so purposeful, because their relationship with God was right. When your relationship with God is right, when you've got that vertical relationship right, your horizontal relationships will be what they are meant to be. On your part, at least, right? When we're right with God, we will be right with others. This is a state of original justice. And this is part of what allows us to understand what's known as original unity, this unity between Adam and Eve. There wasn't this discord. There was communication, collaboration, cooperation, all of it without difficulty because they were right with God. These were a part of the original states of Adam and Eve in the garden. And it was a natural orientation to the purpose of marriage and having children. You see, if we understand Adam and Eve in the garden, the creation as Adam, as man, and as Eve, as woman, we understand, as St. John Paul II talks about in his Theology of the Body, about two different incarnations, the incarnation of man and the incarnation of woman, and how both are in God's image and likeness. This is all significant for marriage because, stay with me here, listen. St. John Paul II, when talking about man and woman, he says the two reveal two complementary ways of being conscious of the meaning of the body. That is, you value the difference, the differences of the body. We love what is other in the body. We find out how the two together make the image of God. You see, what he's talking about here is that there are two ways, one is male, one is female, of being conscious of the meaning of the body, of the purpose and the image and likeness of God that we're created in. You see, when we see this value, when we have this understanding of our spouse within the context of marriage, when I understand my husband as different from me, as a man, not a woman, when we value these differences, When we remind ourselves that the reason I loved you, honey, the reason I married you was because you were someone other than me. I didn't marry myself. I wouldn't have been interested in marrying myself. I married what was other. That is part of what we love about the person that we marry. But for some reason, when we get a little ways into marriage, we try to make them just like us. We want to conform our spouse to our image and to our likeness, rather than remembering that each of us are two ways of being conscious of the meaning of the body, of being made in God's image and likeness. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, reveals something very profound about who God is. That there's an act of sacrificial love. We talk about this, how Jesus Christ on the cross offered himself totally to the Father for all of us. It was an act of love, an act of sacrifice to the Father to atone. It was a sacrifice for us, but a sacrifice to the Father. In that love of the Son for the Father and the Father of the Son, you'll hear in Catholic theology, spirates the Holy Spirit. In other words, what it's talking about is that the family is the Trinity. The truest form of understanding family is this perfection of love. And it's, remember, God is asexual. That is, God has no sex. Yes, incarnate Jesus Christ, we could talk about, yes, is a man. But God himself is not a sexual being. And it's important we understand that. So when we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity is a family, what does that reveal to us about our families? We are made to be a gift of selves. We are meant to show this same familial, perfected, sacrificial love as the Trinity. Now, coming back to femininity and masculinity, as we unpack this understanding of being created in God's image and likeness and look at it within the context of marriage, we can turn to St. John Paul II's words as he continues in Theology of the Body, because we're talking today about Theology of the Body for marriage. St. John Paul II says, femininity in some way finds itself before masculinity, while masculinity confirms itself through femininity. I think this is a very profound statement, that femininity discovers itself before masculinity, and masculinity confirms itself through femininity. That is, as women, we discover ourselves before the men we are around in our lives. And for men, they are confirmed in their masculinity through exposure to femininity. This is why it's so important that we pray that as women, we are feminine women, that we are good at being mothers, wives, sisters, brides. The same for men in their various roles. Because when we are the woman that we were created to be, when we are the man that we were created to be, we help affirm other people in their masculinity and in their femininity. This is part of why we're having this crisis of the whole LGBTQ movement. There's a confusion, there's a lack of affirmation, confirmation, and discovery of who we are as male and female. You see, we discover ourselves when we love enough to discover the other. We discover ourselves when we love enough to discover the other, especially our spouses in marriage. Marriage is a vocation on the path to heaven. We can be sanctified through our marriages. Do we allow our spouse to be other, and do we love them for that otherness? Listen to that. It's so important. I'll keep saying it because I was really pondering as I was thinking about this earlier today and the quotes from St. John Paul II. I thought, you know what? We do. We discover ourselves when we love enough to discover the other. That's what John Paul II is saying in that quote I just read you. Femininity in some way finds itself before masculinity, while masculinity confirms itself through femininity. Men, are you making it so that your presence, your interaction with the women in your lives helps them to discover themselves or tear themselves down and objectify themselves? Women, are we affirming the men in our lives to help them to develop in who they are called and created to be? St. John Paul II says that male and female shows two complementary dimensions of self-knowledge and self-determination. Two complementary dimensions of self-knowledge and self-determination. That as a woman, you have a different type of self-knowledge than a man does as a man. A man has a different type of self-determination than a woman does. St. John Paul II then goes on to say, there are two complementary ways of being conscious of the meaning of the body. This is how different we are as male and female. You see, being made, created, male or female, our biology, our physiology, that so-called, what our culture likes to say so crassly, that check between the legs. I can't believe we're even hearing this as a culture. That is not an accident. That is a fundamental part of who you are. Being male or female is a fundamental part of your existence. Being male or female, that biological representation, that biological reality, that physiology impacts all the way to the depth of your soul, to the dimension of self-knowledge, as St. John Paul II says, to the dimension of self-determination, to the very meaning and purpose of your body. And this is discovered in a particular way within the context of marriage. Marriage is that place to discover and grow with one another, and to discover another who is other than ourselves. Embracing the otherness. I've even seen this in new ways, being new parents with my husband. I've seen his fatherhood, seen his attitudes that are different from mine with regard to how our baby girl eats and doesn't eat and whines for the cheese that she loves or the apples that she wants rather than eating her chicken or beef or avocado. I'm Californian. Baby's gotta eat avocado, right? You're even seeing the way he plays with her is totally different, or his attitude and how he handles changing the diapers. We could criticize and critique. We could say, well, no, do it this way. And yes, there are moments for that are appropriate and important. But sometimes we just have to admire, wow, look at the differences. Look at the differences in gifts, the differences in interests. Even just seeing, not related to the baby, seeing the difference in our spouses of their interests. Even, I think this is an interesting one. We should talk about this one day. The differences between what keeps a man up at night versus what keeps a woman up at night. And those things that we ponder. Is these are all parts of the differentness and otherness. And how we have to discover the other and appreciate the complementarity. You see, marriage teaches the value of the human person. Marriage teaches that there is another person. In good times and in bad, boy, are these times to discover the other person and let go of ourselves. In sickness and in health, for richer or poorer, marriage teaches the value of who we are as human beings. It teaches us to love. And this is the depth of St. John Paul II's theology of the body, barely scratching the surface when it comes to our marriages. It's not just for people who are dating. It's not just for young adults. It's not just talking about abstinence or chastity, although that's important and those are parts of marriage. It's about the whole dimension of who you are, your human anthropology, and where you're created to be.